Okay. Continue with Isaiah. Velo niskara daito ad shamar lahem. So he wasn't satisfied until he told them the following. Okay, this is a verse which is, as it were, the 19th of after the 18 we just saw. Yuhavun hana'ar bazakin. So they will domineer the na'ar bazak against the zakin, the young, the youth against the elder. So what is this? Ela b'nei Adam shemonarin min hamitzos. So they're using the word youth as a word to mean empty here. This refers to the people, not necessarily youth themselves, who are empty, shemino'arin, empty from mitzvahs. Yuhavu b'misha memula b'mitzvahs karimon. They will domineer over someone as full as mitzvahs as pomegranates or rimon. Vanikle b'nichbad. And the base will be over the respectable, the mekuva, honorable. Yavo mi shechemuros doimos alav kekalos. So a person to whom grave sins seem like light sins, it's a kal, right? Kal means light, kuf lamed, will come, v'yirhavu b'mi shekalos doimos alav kechemuros. A person who seems even grave sins as light sins, come and dominate over someone who sees even light sins as grave sins. And in the scale of Yerushalayim, the person with less very little Yerushalayim, if any, will try to domineer over someone who has real Yerushalayim. There's an interesting question brought down exactly. There's, you know, what's this idea of Niskar and Daito? What is it? Isaiah is satisfied with this. You know, you get that last malediction, last punch in this, what's going on? He's a prophet of Hashem. What's going on? So that, one of the interesting things that I brought down is that is the Iya Yam brings it down. He says that really, since a prophet's supposed to succeed and bring someone back to Teshuvah, and basically Isaiah, after the first 18 of intense maledictions, no one was listening to him. So he thought maybe he himself was messing up. You know, like, what was he doing wrong? He couldn't understand what he was doing wrong. So when this 19th prophecy as it were came to him, and it prophesied that this would be the scenario, that no one would listen to him, right? Because remember, the people know Yerushalayim, also knows with Yerushalayim. At least he felt a little like, he felt, if not satisfied, he felt relieved that that Hashem himself was acknowledging that this was going to be the reality that would occur. The Marsha also brings something down with the Messiah, like Ikvus Mashiach, that maybe he was satisfied because he realized that this was a foretelling of the Mashiach, where people the world would be in disarray in the sense. Okay, so very interesting Gemara here. Amar Rav Katina, Afilu B'Shas Kishloina Shel Yerushalayim. Even in the hour, the shas of Kishloina, the downfall of Yerushalayim, lo fasku mehem ba'ale amana. People of truth or faithfulness did not disappear. Shenemar, how do we know? So we're looking at chapter 3, verse 6. Ki yispais ish ba'achiv. For a brother will grab another brother. A man will grab his brother. Bis aviv, of his father's house. Not necessarily his father's, like not his actual brother to his father, but it's a cousin to his father's house. Someone who's maybe a bit more distant, but still. Simla lecha katzin tielanu. Simla lecha, you have a garment. Katzin tielanu, become a chief for us. Become our gadol, become our rav, become our leader. Guide us in the ways of Torah. So devarim shebnei adam miskasin b'simla. Gemara is pointing out that Devarim here means, what are they going to speak about? Devarim, this that we're saying now is matters of Torah, and which people cover themselves with like a garment. So when you learn Torah, you're gaining a spiritual garment. Perhaps you could say in the realm of your aura, in the realm of your the way you interact with the world, you're learning how to interact with the world. You're levush. You could say that. Just like a police officer wears a certain uniform, perhaps you'll wear certain clothes, or you'll have a certain attitude, which will change how you deal with the world. Torah gives you this, tells you, instructs us how to deal with the world. So this someone who seems to have such a garment, who seems to be walking the ways of Hashem, people grab onto him. They grab onto him and say, lead us, teach us. We don't know any Torah. We want to know. So this seems to have been what was happening just before the destruction of Yerushalayim. So there were people who wanted to know. Let's keep continuing with seeing what else there is. Yeshnan tachas yadcha. So you have some Torah. The verse is continuing. Let the stumbling block. What does it mean? Let the stumbling block. And the verse is really, let the stumbling block be in your possession. What's this mean? So continue to darshan. Devarim she'ein b'nei adam oimdim alehen. Things that people don't really get to. They don't grasp. Ela im kein nichshal b'hen. Only if they first stumble on them. So it's interesting, right? There's huge, beautiful ideas about how important it is that Torah is only grasped for Yisurin. There's an interesting Gemara and Brachos, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbi, who we credit the Zohar to, that he says there are a number of gifts, whether it's Torah or it's Yisrael, and Olam Haba too, I believe, is the third one, that you don't earn these things without Yisurin. There are certain things that you're not really going to get unless you've had to struggle for them. So, of course, in this case, Torah as well. Yeshnan takas yadecha. We're saying that people are finding this person, and then you have this something to teach me. Yisav yom. The next verse goes, Hahu lemor. So he shall raise up an oath on that day, saying, Lo hiyeh chayvish. I will not be a ruler. Chayvish is like an imprisoner, right? Chayvish, peace. But I'll not be a ruler. I'm not going to be someone who imprisons, because I'm going to tell you I know everything and I'm going to keep you to my path. Remember, this is the person responding. They grasped onto his hand. So they grasped onto his garment. They said, be a chief to us. So what does he say? Does he stand up and say, yeah, I'm a man. Let's do this. Or what does he say? It seems to be saying not. He's even going to say an oath that to such an extent, in my house there is no bread, there is no garment. Of course, he's referring to Torah. We'll get into that. Lo simi nuhu kitsinam. Don't make me a leader of the people. Now, Yisah, O Darshan, Yisah, Ein Yisah, Ela Lashin Shavua. That's from the language of Yisah. He raised up. We understand that means Rishuva. This person, for whatever reason, in responding to the people who wanted him to become a leader, has to swear. Shneamar, Lo Sisa Es Shem Hashem Lokecha. In a verse, Yisah is used to indicate an oath. Now, what else is going on? Lo Ahiyeh Chayvish. What does it mean, I will not be a ruler? Lo hayisi mechayvshe beisim midrash. In this case, it's different. Chayvshe, I was locked in a good sense. I was locked in the beisim midrash. I was not one of those people who locked myself in the beisim midrash. So I haven't been a masman. I haven't been learning. I don't have what to give over. Veveisi ein lechem vein simla. In my house, there's no bread and no garment. What did that mean? She ein biyadi lo mikra velo mishna velo gemara. I don't have any level of the Torah to give you. I don't even have the simple pshat of the pasuk. I don't have the Mishnah. I don't have the Gemara. I don't have anything to give you. So, what are we seeing here? Remember, Rav Katina said that there were people of faith, people of truth, even in the last hour of Yerushalayim. So it's interesting that although we might have thought this guy wasn't doing the right thing by stepping up, but the truth is we're impressed with him. How do we know there's a person of faith? Because he refused to teach when he didn't know. He didn't claim that he knew, and he could have misled a lot of people. So this was Rav Kitina's proof that there were people of faith. We're going to continue the idea. But Dilma Shani Hasan, but maybe you can't use this as a proof that he was really a man of faith, that he was truthful. Ti'i Amar Lahu Gemirna, because he said, I'm learned. Well, wait a second. Is he going to get away with it? Amri lehem on long. It's a, so teach us, tell us, speak to us. And eventually, they would, you would find out. They would find out. Havle lemeimar gamar shvashachach. Well, you could have said, I learned and forgot. So in other words, he could have said, it's like amigo, right? He could have said, I learned and I forgot.
I forgot it.
And then we would have, they would have had to, they would have believed him. He would have got away with it. So my loa yechayvish. What do you mean? I'm not accustomed to sequestering myself. I'm not accustomed to sequestering myself at all. I'm not. I was never knowledgeable. And so he could have got away with a lie, and he didn't. So you have to say that he had some integrity here. So let's challenge it again. Amy, really, Rav Katina? Hamar Rava. Rava says, Lo charva Yushalayim ad shepasku mimenu bali amana. Rebbe learns that really we wait till the last second, as it were. Hashem waited till the last second, until there wasn't even a single person of truth and faith left in Yerushalayim. That was only then was it destroyed. So let's see what this means. How could it be? Rav Katina saying there were people of faith. Rebbe saying that no, there were no people of faith. Shenemar, Shoytito, Bechutzois Yerushalayim. Walk in the streets of Jerusalem. Uru nad udu vakshu vir chuvoseya. See now and know, and seek in its plazas. Im tzimtzuish, if you'll find a man. Im yesh oisa mishpat bevachish emuna v'esalach lo. If there is one who dispenses justice, who seeks the truth, I will forgive her. As we see, Hashem is really, the midas harachamim here is as great as it can be. But at the same time, we have a simple pshat argument. What's going on? Rav Katina says there are people of truth. Rebbe says there were no people of truth. How do we resolve this? Ah, lo kashya, not a difficulty. We're going to find out that one is referring to truth of scholars, truth amongst scholars, and one is talking about truth in business. Ha, b'divrei Torah. Rav Katina says, in regards to matters of Torah, ha, there were people of truth. But ha, Rava speaks b'masa umatan. In business, there were not. In business, you know, it's very hard sometimes. There's always money you're losing. Someone's you can justify very easily, he's taking your money. Your business partner who worked with you for 20 years is taking your money. Or whatever it is. And it's very difficult to be a man of integrity. It seems that even in matters of devarim here, even in matters of words. So, b'divrei Torah, the Gemara is just speaking it out, that's where people were truthful. But Masa Matan Lohavu. But business, there was no one doing honest business left. And obviously the question could be, to some extent, is that probably many of the Torah scholar people were even split. So it's not just that there were two rounds of people, perhaps, but in Torah, people were able to still bring out idealism and a search for truth and a desire to be truthful. Then perhaps at least some of them would then go and do business, and they wouldn't be able to live up to their.
The same people are different.
Well, could be even be the same people. You'd have to say at some level, that logically speaking, there had to be some people doing business. So, presumably speaking, it's contained within this. So, there may have been truthful people. There may have been untruthful people. There may have been people who were truthful in Torah and not truthful in business. So we can't think that it's enough to be truthful in the base of Midrash. We've got to take it out with us throughout our days, within our relationships, and we've got to live up to it always as best we can. Okay, we're moving to Ma'aseh Merkava. That's very interesting. We talked about it a little bit about it. I think we actually did probably speak more than we would have thought about it, and probably even less than we'd think about it, and then less at the same time. So I hope we'll see some accounts of teachers teaching the Talmidim. So Tani Rabbanin is a brisa. Ma'aseh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was a certain story. Shehaya roichi val hachaymor. He was riding on his donkey by a mahalach baderech, and he was going along the road. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach mechamir acharav. Rabbi Elazar ben Acharach was behind him guiding the donkey. Amarlo. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi, Shene li perek echad Ma'aseh Merkava. Teach me one chapter of the Ma'aseh Merkava. Amar lo. Lo kach shenisi lechem. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, have I not taught you? Velo v'merkava biyachid. One may not expand upon the Ma'aseh Merkava into one single student. Elaim kein haya chacham evin medaito. Unless that student is a chacham and he understands on his own. So wise. Hello, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach replied, Rabbi, Tarsheni lomar lefanicha davar echad shlemad tani. Allow me to recite before you one thing, one matter that you've taught me already. Amarlo, emor. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, speak. And remember, there's a machlekes. Can you even teach the chapter headings to one student? Rambam, I think it's actually it's really an argument that seems I've had understand the Gemara. Rambam says you can't even teach the chapter headings, and the student has to understand it on his own. Others seem to say that you can teach the chapter headings to a person who isn't a mevin, but he has to get from there to understand in the end. So either Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai taught the chapter headings, or we taught perhaps. There's an approach and taught maybe the Maisa Bereishis and there's a roundabout way he was able to get to the Maisa Merkava. That seems to be the Rambam's view. Okay, let's see. So Miyad, after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said speak, he got off Yarad from his donkey. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Me'ach HaChamor V'nis Atif, he wrapped himself up. Perhaps he put on his talis. Vayashav alha evin tachas hazayis, and he sat on a stone underneath an olive tree. So obviously that's full of meaning that we'll probably fail to speak out, but it must be something obviously about an olive tree. Amar lo, Rebbe, v'pnei ma yiradta mi'al hachamor. Why did you get off the donkey? Amar, efshar ata dorish b'maisa merkava. It's possible you'll actually speak about the maisa merkava. Ushchina Emanu, and the divine presence shall be with us. It seems to be much. Somehow, Darshan of Ma'aseh Merkava brings the Ushchina in a much more intense form. It seems into the immediate surroundings. Umalchei Sharis Malavi Nosanu. Not only that, but the ministering angels will be accompanying us. Vaadi in Al Erkava Chamor. I'll be on a donkey. I'll ride a donkey. Oh, this is a very interesting idea. I mean, Chamor is it's a symbol. Of a synonym for materialism. Somehow it's perhaps he's getting off his he's separating himself from some materiality. I don't know. Pasach Rabbi Elazar ben Arach b'maisa merkava dar v'darash. So Rabbi Elazar ben Arach began his discourse on the maisa merkava, and he expounded v'yarda ish min hashamayim, and fire came down from heaven. V'sibiva kol ilonos and shebasada, and it either surrounded or it singed all the trees in the field. They were surrounded by fire. Paschu kulan v'amru shira, but the trees, although being surrounded by fire, were singing a song. Halalu es so mashira. I mean, what song do they sing? Halalu es Hashem, praise be Hashem, min haaretz, from the earth. Taninim. The sea giants, v'chol tohimus, and all the depths. Eitz pri v'chol al razim haluka, fruitful trees and all cedars haluka. Na'ala malach min ha'esh v'amar. Now an angel spoke from amidst the fire and said, "Hein hein, this is definitely Ma'aseh Merkava. This is Ma'aseh Merkava." So, what this exactly means, was it through within them they had a certainty? Was it more? More than that, whether the angels speak outside from outside of them or from within them, we're not sure. It seems, but Amad Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai unshako al reisho, he was proud of him. It seems he had a geshmak. He was excited. He was thrilled. He was pleased. He had nachas, and he kissed Elazar ben Arach on his head. V'amar, and he said, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel. Shenasan bein. Avraham Avinu, who gave a child to Avraham Avinu. So what does this mean? Why Avraham Avinu? So it seems that Avraham Avinu somehow somehow the Meisim Bereishis certainly, we know that this idea that we always ascribe to Avram, it seems that there's an overlap with the Meisim Bereishis, that Avram understood that it was this midas of chesed that Hashem created the world with, and that Hashem, the ramifications of this kind creator, somehow that has to do with the Meisim Bereishis. And since Avram Avinu pursued that, and that's how he stepped into the world in relationship with Hashem, so too, Reb Elazar ben Arach, seems he was able to take, if you go to the Rambam's view, this Meisim Bereishis that he had been taught, and go to its full depths with it. So, Shiyodeya Lahavin Lachakor Lidreish B'Meisim Merkava. Just like Avraham Avinu, Reb Elazar ben Arach, he knows how to comprehend, to delve, and expand upon the Meisim Merkava, the depth, the most depth that you could, as it were, in the Torah. I don't think that exactly means, because obviously it's all deep. There are those who will expand, but they're not very good at practice. There are those who practice, but those who are good at practicing, but they don't really expand. You're good at both. Now, it's an interesting fact that's brought up about the Meisim Merkava, that it seems that you're only really able to get to that understanding if your deeds are proper. You're only given the gift, as it were, of understanding, which is really the basis for all Torah learning, right? Where all Torah learning, really, at some level, is that you have to understand the Torah as a gift, really understand it's beyond us. You know, so how do you understand it? It's a gift from God. How do you get a gift from God? How would God give you such a gift? Because we're working on our character traits. We're not only being diligent in the base midrash, we're being diligent in our lives, we're being diligent with our spouses, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our fellow Jews. We're being diligent, and it's through that diligence and living up to the Torah that Hashem ultimately will grant us the gifts of understanding. And nothing is more so that this applies in the Meisim Merkava. So therefore it seems that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai can say you do both. Because if you can expand the Meisim Merkava, you're also being Mekayim. Okay. Ashrecha Avraham Avinu, She'elzar ben Arach, Yatza Mecha Tzecha. Praiseworthy is Avraham Avinu, and how blessed, fortunate are you, is Avraham Avinu, that Rabbi Elzar ben Arach immersed in your life. You're a true child of Avraham Avinu. You give him much, much nachas. U'cheshenemru ha'davarim lefnei Rabbi Yeshua. The parallel story here. Now, Rabbi Yeshua, it seems the Meisim Merkava was said before Rabbi Yeshua. Hayahu v'Rabbi Yosi haKohen mahalachu b'derech. But this time it's Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yosi haKohen. They're going on the road. Amru. They said, Af anu nidroish b'Meisim Merkava. Let us also expand upon the Meisim Merkava. Pasach Rabbi Yeshua b'darsh. Okay, remember Rabbi Yeshua began to do it. So I incorrectly set it up. Rabbi Yeshua began to darshan on the Meisim Merkava. This was this period, the season of Tammuz, where it's usually very hot, summertime. This kashru shemayim ba'aviv v'nira kamin keshish be'enon. Nonetheless, although it's the summer and it seems that it's a dry season, nonetheless clouds darken the sky and something like a rainbow appeared amidst the clouds. And the ministering angels were gathering and coming to hear the teachings of the Meisim Merkava. Ah, so he's doing it successfully. Kivnei Adam Shemis Kabtzin Uvayin Neros Bemazmute Chasim Vekala. Like people who come to gather and to come to a wedding to see the joy, they gather in front of the bride and groom, and with joy and excitement. So halach Rabbi Yosi HaKohen. Now after Rabbi Yeshua went, this is what the Gemara was speaking about. Rabbi Yeshua had repeated, and now it's Rabbi Yosi HaKohen, and he was saying it before Rabbi Yeshua. V'sipir devarim. Okay, this time even lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was here, and they had said it before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now v'amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Ashreichem v'ashrei yoladchem. Praise are you. You are fortunate. You ain't a fortunate. Are those who gave birth to you. Ashrei enosh kachrohu. How fortunate are my eyes that have thus seen thus. V'afa ni'alatem v'cholomi misubin hayinu al har sinai. Furthermore, I and all of you were in my dream, seated at Mount Sinai. V'nitna le'abas kol min shamayim, and a heavenly voice resounded from heaven, and it said, Alu lechan, alu lechan. Alu lechan, alu lechan. Ascend here, ascend here. Tiraklin, gedoylim, mitzayis, na'yus, mitzayis lechem. Large dining halls with elegant couches are prepared for you. Atzem v'samideihem v'samideichem, mezumin levas shlishis. You and your disciples and the disciples of your disciples are all invited to the third division. Now there are three divisions brought down who engage in Torah study. One is those who fulfill the basic obligations to study Torah, and they're content with learning simple meaning. Another division, those who have attained the crown of the Torah, they're able to see its wonders, its guidance for life, and its hidden light. I mean, it seems by all rights they should be gedolim. Three, there are those who have mastered this, even the secrets of the Maaseh Merkava. Now these three groups sit, as it were, before Hashem, and obviously according to their stature. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his disciples are invited to the third, the highest circle. So again, there's this something with the Maaseh Merkava, which if you're able to understand, it signifies that you've achieved something great in Torah. It's almost as though it's somehow a final stamp of approval, as it were, for lack of a better way of articulating it. You're brought in as near as you can be brought in. As it seems, at least. Any? But wait a second. How could it have been taught before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? But Sanya, there's a brisa. Rabbi Yossi Barabi Yehuda Oimer. Shloisha Hartzaris Hain. There were three discourses upon the Maaseh Merkava. Now, Rabbi Yehoshua Hirtza Devarim, Lifnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, Rabbi Yehoshua said it before Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Akiva Hirtza Lifnei Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Akiva then in turn said it before Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Akiva is a student of Rabbi Yehoshua, and Rabbi Yehoshua is a student of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And three, Chananya ben Chanikai Hirtza Lifnei Rabbi Akiva is passed down again to Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinai from Rabbi Akiva. Vili Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, lo kachashiv, but Rabbi Elazar ben Arach wasn't mentioned. So why was he not mentioned? Da artzi v'artzu kamin kachashiv. The Braisa reckons only a sage who discoursed before others and before whom others discoursed. So it sounds like it was mutual from one generation to another. In da, we'll have to look at that. That means exactly, hopefully, try to understand in a second. Da'artzi v'lo artzu, kame lo kachashiv. But someone such as Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who discoursed before others, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but others did not discourse before him, the Braisa is not reckoning. Ah. So in other words, it's the tree, it's the Masorah. We have a valid Masorah from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai down to Rabbi Yehoshua, and then from Rabbi Yehoshua down to Rabbi Akiva. And as Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, the teaching, as it were, got stopped with him. He wasn't able to give it over. And so this Braisa only counts those who are able to give it over, as it were, we have a chain of Masorah through them, therefore, because it goes from one generation to the next and to the next. Obviously, the question would be the last one on Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinai. Who did he give it over to? But we'll leave it at that. Vaha, let's just do a couple more lines. Vaha Chananya ben Chachinai. Oh, delo artzu kame v'kachashiv. We asked this question. Well, who did Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinai give it over to? Da artzi miha kame man da artzi. Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinai was at least someone who was discoursed before someone who had discoursed before someone else. So that is at least Chananya ben Chachinai is mentioned here because of Rabbi Akiva. Joshua Rabbi Akiva was someone who both discoursed before Rabbi Yeshua and then gave it over himself. So it basically sounds, in order to give the validity to Rabbi Akiva, he had to include one final chain. Otherwise, you'd have the same passion Rabbi Akiva. So, gentlemen, we should be blessed to learn Torah, to do proper deeds, and who knows, maybe even one day we'll find the Rebbe to teach us. Thanks for coming.